Good morning. Well, good morning. Why don't we turn our Bibles to Mark chapter 4, verse 35 to 41. And if you also have your one books with you, if you can turn to page 52, we'll be going through today's devotional entitled Tell Jesus. I'll actually be reading from the book, so that might just be easier for all of you to do that. So Mark chapter 4, 35 to 41. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great gale arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased and there was a dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Amen. And then I'll actually read from the devotional here too. The author says, "Have you ever been at the seafront in a numbered 8 typhoon? The waves pound the shore, wind whips up the spray in blinding sheets. Lake Galilee frequently experiences violent, unpredictable storms. Waves as high as 3 meters have been recorded with wind gusts of over 70 kilometers per hour. This storm overwhelms the disciples, experienced sailors, who'd spent their lives fishing the waters of Galilee, yet who were fearful of drowning. In fact, they didn't actually ask Jesus to help. He was a carpenter, not a sailor. They just shouted angrily at him, "Don't you care?" In the workplace, a crisis can hit without warning. Suddenly, we can find ourselves struggling to survive and facing professional failure. We are often more reluctant to ask for help when facing a crisis in our own area of expertise. Yet, when we do tell Jesus, he is able to help us far beyond our expectations. Why wait until we've come to the end of our own abilities? Jesus is just a prayer away. He does care, cares deeply, and with his help, we will not just be able to survive, but we'll also be able to overcome. Lately, as I've been preparing for messages on Friday mornings and stuff, it's actually been a really good time because it's helped me to really have to focus on the passage. Like before, I just take the passage, you know, at face value as it was, and you just kind of move on from there. But, you know, having to prepare, you kind of tend to really get into the passage. Just try to like suck out whatever you can from these things. And, you know, in particular, I've really been enjoying the book of Mark because, like, the more and more I read about it, the more and more I read about what the disciples do. Personally, I find myself so much more able to relate to them in the way that they behave, in the way that they say things, because I find that I do exactly the same things as they do. And in particular for this passage, when these guys are caught up in the storm, you know, I was trying to figure out, like, okay, so what are these guys doing, you know, during these times of storms? And then I was trying to relate that back to my life. And then I find that these guys, I noticed that these guys, they do 4 things, which I realized that I do either all the time or when I find myself also in times of storms. And 2 of which the author does address here, which I'll also go into. But I personally think that there are 4 things that I was able to get out of this passage. And then, you know, I'll share them with you. And then hopefully you guys find it also relatable as well. You guys find it also applicable and that you also find it similar to own your lives. But the first thing that I noticed that the disciples do in the times of the storm, right, is, you know, the storm's coming. And I realize the first thing they do is they forget what Jesus said. Right. If you look at the passage in verse 35, it says, "On that day when evening had come, he said to them, 'Let us go across to the other side.'" Jesus, when he said, "Let us go across to the other side," he wasn't saying, you know what, let's try to get to the other side. You know, why don't we attempt to see where we can go with our boat and let's try to get to the other, over across the Sea of Galilee and let's hope that we're going to get there. No, when Jesus says things, he's very deliberate in his words. And I think that, you know, the disciples, they forgot to remember that Jesus never said anything without deliberation. I think everything that came out of his mouth was very deliberate, and it had purpose in everything that he said. So when he was saying, let us go to the other side, he was saying, we are going to the other side, and we will get to the other side. And I find that even in my own life, you know, when storms come, and you're, you know, when things are rough and stuff, you tend to, because you focus so much on the things going around you and the crisis that's going on, you forget what Jesus said to you in the beginning, right? Either if it was a word spoken over you, maybe he called you to the marketplace, or whether it was revealed to you in scriptures, we tend to forget it. And I feel like it's because we get so caught up in looking away from and forgetting what we've heard, and because we look to the storm, that we forget these things. So that's number one. Number two is what the author will talk about, right? When a crisis comes, I find what happens is, instinctively, I take matters into my own hands, right? And I think, you know, and then if you read about this in the passage as well, the disciples, personally, this is what I think. Right, you have to put everything into context. These guys were sailors, right? I mean, like these, like, you know, some of the disciples that Jesus picked, they were very, very experienced fishermen and stuff. And so they were accustomed to the Sea of Galilee, I think. They knew that the Sea of Galilee had these frequent bouts of like sudden storms. And so I think personally, when a storm came, I'm trying to imagine what it was like sitting with them in this boat, right? I don't think that when the storm came, they were just sitting there going, oh my gosh, a storm is here. What do we do? What do we do? What do we do? I don't think that's what they were doing. I don't think they were looking at each other and they were scared. I think what honestly would have happened is when they saw that storm, they were probably like, okay, you know, storm's coming, you know, pull down the mast, or pull down the sail, you know, get the buckets, and we gotta start, you know, like, doing whatever we can to get the water out. That's what I would think. And I think, because that would be natural, because that's what they're normally too. And, you know, and I find myself, I do that a lot as well. Like, even, like, for example, if I'm in the workplace and stuff, and suddenly a crisis comes, and, you know, some, you know, a phone call comes and goes, oh my gosh, Tom, this happened. I'm like, oh, crap. Okay, so I'm going to start, and I'll do whatever I can instinctively. I'll take matters into my own hands, and I'll start trying to do whatever I can to fix the problem. And then by doing that, you kind of forget that God's there, and Jesus is there and stuff. And then this is what happens, right? So you're like, you're constantly focusing on this, right? And then I feel like this is what the fishermen were doing. I can imagine they're trying to like continually, they're trying to like throw buckets of water out of this and stuff. And they're probably, you know, as they're doing this, probably looking around once in a while, and they see Jesus, he's sitting there. And, you know, Jesus is like sleeping, right? So they're probably like, what? What's going on? So they're like, you know, constantly doing this and stuff. And then I could imagine, and I feel like this is what I would do, as you keep doing that, and as you keep seeing that Jesus is not really doing anything or moving, what happens? You start to get a little bit frustrated, right? And I know that the author here says that, you know, they never actually asked Jesus to help. And I think that's true. I think sometimes when I'm in a face of crisis, I don't really ask Jesus for help. But honestly, I think personally, I have an expectation that Jesus will help me. I think what happens is, as I'm doing this, my attitude is such that I'm thinking, okay, you know, I'm doing this. God, I need you to come and partner with me what I'm doing here, and we need to fix this problem, right? And then so I'm kind of like, what I do is I kind of like shoebox what Jesus can do into what I'm doing. And I'm kind of saying, you come and you partner with me, and we're going to fix this thing. But then that's not how Jesus operates. And what happens is, as you try to do that, and you see that that's not happening, you start to get extremely frustrated. And I think that's why maybe these, you know, fishermen, these disciples, because they got so frustrated, you know, Jesus is just resting, that they probably went to him and they woke him up and said, Jesus, don't you care that we are perishing, right? Because I'm sure they were thinking probably like, Jesus is not some small dude. Jesus is a carpenter. He probably could have at least picked up a bucket and also helped these guys out too and tried to get the water out. But he wasn't doing that. So I feel like that's why they got frustrated, and they were like, Jesus, don't you care about us? Right? I think that's what he said. And I feel like that's what I say to God all the time too. Cause I'm like, Jesus, I'm doing this. You're not helping me doing this. Don't you care? And of course he cares. But, you know, I feel like what the disciples did, and that's how I relate to them. So that was the second and the third thing. The second thing is we take our matters into our own hands. The third thing was we feel that God doesn't care. And the last thing I think that the disciples did that we also tend to do in times of storm is we forget about the big picture, right? The disciples forgot who Jesus was. He was the Messiah. He was the Son of God who came to save the world. And they forgot that Jesus is not going to die in a storm, right? You know, he was there for a greater purpose than that. And, you know, we have to remember in our own lives too, sometimes we get so caught up in these things, right? And, you know, Paul talks about momentary light afflictions. We blow up these things into become huge issues that we forget the very purpose why Jesus died on the cross for us, which was so that we could live a life full, abundant, and such a fulfilling life. And, as I'm sharing this with you, you know, I'm not obviously trying to bum you guys out too, right? I mean, maybe you guys relate to me. Maybe you're thinking, oh yeah, that's what I do too. That kind of sucks. You know, I wish I wasn't like that and stuff. But, you know, in the midst of all this, it's kind of really cool to see how Jesus responds, right? Because, yes, maybe these fishermen, these disciples, they came, you know, they acted late. They came to Jesus, you know, they came to him frustrated and angry. They said, Jesus, don't you care? Right? But, you know, like, if you read the passage as well, it's kind of interesting that Jesus immediately wakes up when they try to wake him up, you know? Consider the situation at that time, right? It was a storm. Boat was probably rocking like crazy. Waves were probably, you know, hitting left and right on the boat. Water was probably flowing in. It was probably splashing on Jesus too. He never woke up during the whole time, right? And yet, if you notice, as soon as his disciples spoke to him, he woke up. And so it's kind of encouraging for us to see that, you know, when we let go, when we were frustrated with these things, and yet and that when the time comes for us to turn to Jesus, Jesus will respond. And he won't be like, oh, you know, he won't respond with like frustration. He won't be like, oh, why'd you wake me up or anything. He will immediately respond with action too, right? And Jesus, what he does is he gets up, and here's also the cool part. He gets up and, you know, Jesus is not like, okay, I'm up, I'll help you guys. So he picks up a bucket and he's like also like doing the water thing, right? When Jesus wakes up, he turns to the storm, right? And then he says, he rebukes the storm and the storm calms down, right? And it's interesting. And then the encouraging thing about that is Jesus doesn't just want you to be able to survive a storm, right? He's not going to pick up a bucket and help you try to do what you can to survive it and get to the end of it, right? Jesus can actually turn to the storm itself and get rid of it completely for you in your life. And I find that really, really encouraging, that if we only turn away from the storm and turn to Jesus, right? Right? Sometimes we're so focused on watching the storm when we should be watching Jesus and what he is doing, right? And that, you know, I don't know. It's just really encouraging to know that Jesus will move in that way. And so, you know, I hope, as you know, if we go through this passage today, that, you know, many of you, maybe you guys will relate to the things that I go through and things like that, but at the same time that you remember, you know, the way that Jesus responds, because I think that's a key point. And, you know, like on a final note, you know, I was wondering, like, okay, because, you know, Jesus rebukes his disciples. He's like, you know, why do you have little faith? You know, why do you have little faith? So I was thinking, okay, so if I was a disciple, what should have been the right way that I should have responded during this times of in the boat, right? What should I have done when I saw the storm coming? And, you know, I think the key thing is, right, because, you know, like Jesus talks about, you know, I only do what I see what the Father is doing. I think at that time, what we were supposed to do is we're supposed to see what Jesus is doing and just do the exact same thing as what he was doing, right? And what Jesus was doing was he was just resting. He wasn't letting the storm affect him at all. He wasn't considering it an issue. And maybe, you know, we should start doing the same thing and just trust in him, you know, that we trust God, that what he's doing is the right thing, and we just follow in the things that he does. And yeah, I know it's a hard thing to do, but, you know, I just want to encourage you guys to really try to do that. Okay? So, why don't we close our eyes? And as we prepare for this time of worship, why don't we spend some time just, you know, reflecting about our own lives? You know, some of you here, sitting here right now, may be going through a lot of challenges in your own life. And then I know that the author talks a lot about work crises, but I don't think it has to be necessarily related to work. All right, it could be issues regarding relationships. It could be issues regarding health things and stuff going on. And maybe you're like me. Maybe sometimes you forget what God said in the beginning. If that's the case, spend some time remembering those things that God said to you. All right? If you have a tendency to take matters into your own hand, let go. Right? If you are also like me, maybe in a stage right now where you're feeling, oh God, do you even care? Remember that He cares for you. And that the very reason why He died was because He loved you. And, you know, and then of course, last thing, don't forget the last picture and stuff. And then as you reflect, also, you know, it might be good to spend some time praying. You know, sometimes we always try to figure out, you know, what we should do in times of crises. But, you know, maybe we should kind of try to flip something around. And then, you know, as you're praying, why don't you take some time asking God, what are you doing in this time of crisis? You know, are you doing nothing? And if you are doing nothing, then why are you doing nothing? You know, because sometimes we think the reason why Jesus doesn't say anything is because He doesn't care. Maybe sometimes Jesus doesn't say anything because it's such a non-issue to Him, right? And He just doesn't want us to worry about it. So He's like, you know what? Don't even worry about it. There's nothing I need to say because it's not even a big deal, right? But the thing is, we don't know that kind of stuff because we never ask Him. So I just want to encourage you this morning as you pray, take some time just to talk to Him, get things from Him, His perspective, and, you know, hopefully that'll help you out throughout this day.
Just to
This morning, you know, the author of today's devotional, his name is Pastor Peter Hurix, and he's a senior pastor at Resurrection Church in Sai Kung. And so this morning, you know, why don't we do something different, and why don't we just spend some time lifting up this church, right? I think, you know, it's awesome that we've got this book called One, and it's a collaboration of all these international churches here in Hong Kong. But, you know, rather than just sharing the devotional, I think it's also good that we also pray for one another, too. So, you know, so let's just spend some time praying for him. You know, he has a family. Let's pray for his family. Let's pray for the leaders at that church, that they would just really be men and women of God who really seek the will and the vision that is given to them by the Father. Let's pray that they have a strategic plan, you know, a vision for that comes from God, and that they would just come alongside, you know, with a specific role that only that their church can do here, and the role that they will play here. And let's just pray that they would just go after that, you know, wholeheartedly, 110%. And let's just pray that whatever needs that they have, whether it's financially, whether it's by prayers, let's just pray that God will just also come and just, you know, meet all those needs as well. So let's just spend some time praying for Peter and for the people at the Church of Resurrection Church. Why don't we turn to our community focus? Why don't we lift up those people in our body, whether it's family or friends who are going through some tough times. People are going through things like cancer. People are overcoming growths that have been removed. People are going through chemo. People are going through radiotherapy. And like we did last week, you know, I really highly recommend that as you're praying for these things, you know, be specific, right? Let's, you know, those things, you know, they're up there and stuff. They talk about things like late-stage lung cancer. Let's really, you know, specifically call them out, because then by saying them, we are able to submit them under the name of Jesus Christ, because none of these things are above His name. And as we submit them under, I feel, or if we feel that, you know, I feel that that's when we can really understand God's authority and we can pray for breakthrough in that area. So let's pray. And so you go to the next slide, also to with our community. Let's lift up those who are dealing with illness and salvation. Let's pray for also those who are going through infirmities. And let's also lift up those brothers and sisters who are still looking for jobs here. Let's pray and let's lift up everyone. And that God would really come through this year of 2012 for every one of them. Thank you. Let's go into our missions focus for today. Let's lift up the local ministries here in Hong Kong. Let's pray for all the churches, you know, international or local, that they would just really have a purpose and a vision here in Hong Kong, that they would really minister not just to the people within their own church, but they would also have really a missions focus to see the whole nation of Hong Kong saved. Let's lift up YWAM Hong Kong, the people at Sports Services International, for Godwin and Shanti, for Fabi and Frank at Masters Beauty. Let's pray for Jimmy Stewart and Janice at Face to Face. Pray for Almond at Jing Shin College, Armanda at Feed the Hungry, Neil at CSW, Christian Solidarity Worldwide. Let's pray that, you know, that every single one of these ministries, you know, they do different things, but they all serve the same purpose. And so let's pray that they would just really, you know, in some way, that they would just really serve a need that's here in Hong Kong, and at the same time glorify God while doing so. Let's also lift up the ministries here we have in Solomon's Porch. Let's lift up the worship team. Let's pray for the sound and media team. Let's pray for the welcoming and hospitality team, as well as the barista ministry. Let's pray that everybody who serves on these ministries really has a heart to serve, that they do so with such a joyful heart, that everything comes out of wanting to do something for somebody else. It doesn't come out of self, you know, like they're not doing it for their own selfish needs or anything, but that they really do it to serve other people. And let's also just pray that, you know, that we would have, you know, people coming willing to serve on these teams as well. This is not just the people on those teams, but that, you know, God would move people's heart at church, and that it would stir, and that He would stir them to join some of these teams that we have here, especially like the welcoming team and the barista team, because, you know, these are actually very key ministries that we have at church, right? They're the first face that people see when they walk through these doors. And you know, we can't take that lightly at all. They're a representation of who we are as a church. And I think it's really important, you know, that first of all, we pray for them, but also that we as a body as well, we partner with this too. That every single one of us, that we understand how to be welcoming as well, whether it is or not that we're on this team. So let's lift all these teams to you. Finally, let's lift up McCain House Church, who meet tonight. Let's pray for Jimmy, Boyoung, and KJ as they minister to their people. Let's pray that it will just be an amazing time of sharing, fellowship, ministering to one another. That it will be a time where people can really be vulnerable with each other about the things that they're going through. Because, you know, a house church is a place where we're able to really sharpen each other and help each other in our growth. But that can't happen unless there's a certain amount of truth and if there's a certain amount of honesty and love as well. So let's just pray that, you know, that those things really are there. That truth, honesty, and love are filled in that place. Let's lift up also the weekend activities that are going on. Let's lift up the IP meetings that they'll be having. Let's pray for tomorrow. There's actually a wedding. You know, John and Chelsea are being married. Let's pray that it'll just be a nice time. Let's pray for good weather. You know, that it won't be so cold. It is an outdoor wedding. Let's pray for good weather. And that it'll just be such a phenomenal time, a celebration where, you know, of two people coming together to become one. Let's also lift up Noah's Ark. Let's lift up the Sunday service. Let's lift up youth group. Let's also lift up the Well ministry, as well as also Cascade, who meet on Monday. Let's just pray that, you know, that all these things that we have, right, that people will just, you know, as people participate in these things, that they just leave just being so blessed by having just, you know, been in those kind of things. So let's pray for those. So Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for bringing us here today to hear your word. We thank you, Lord, the God, Father, that, you know, that scripture was not meant to be just something that we read, but that scripture is something that we can really relate to. And I thank you that, God, Father, that you can speak to us through these things, and that, God, that you make everything so applicable to us in our lives. And I thank you that, God, Father, that despite the way that we respond to situations, despite how we act at times when we're going through times of crisis, that Jesus, that you've never hesitated to respond when we call your name, that you've always responded, and that you've always come with a loving heart and a willingness to solve the problems that we're dealing with. So we just thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you. And I pray that, God, that today, as we go back home, as we go back to the office, or we go to schools, that Jesus, if there is any of us who are going through challenging times right now, would you help us just to see, you know, help us to see what you are doing during these times. And God, Father, as we see what you are doing, help us, God, Father, even though as difficult as it may be, help us just to do the same things that you are doing. And help us just to put our faith and trust and hope in you and not in our own abilities. And help us just to be able to get through this day, Lord God, Father. We pray also, Lord Jesus, God, Father, for continual wisdom and discernment, Lord God, as we go throughout today. Help us just to make the right choices, Lord God, Father. Help us to make the decisions that are aligned to your will and that honor you and that glorifies your name. We pray for strength. We pray, God, Father, that you also give us rest during this weekend as well. And we just pray continually, Lord God, that you just bless everyone here. We thank you, Lord, and in the name of Jesus, I pray.